This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
It's good to be in air conditioning. It's good to be in a country where there's freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech. We just got back from Kosovo, where it was previously closed, and just want to tell you that it's open and the gospel's being preached unhindered and things are happening. You know, nations are a drop in the bucket. With man, things seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And you may be facing some weird circumstances. In fact, you probably are. In fact, I know this because in Psalm 34:19, it says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. And when Brian was leading us in that song about the ocean, I was born and raised on the Pacific Ocean, San Francisco, San Diego, and I got lost at sea in the Pacific Ocean in New Zealand. And the waves were all around me. I was spear diving and I got caught in a current and got pulled out to sea. I shared that last time I was here, but that song really got me because there was a point where I said out of my snorkel, I had a snorkel and a mask, and I said, God, how are they ever going to find me? How are they ever going to find me? I got emotional about it because the waves had formed into bowls. So as we were singing that song, for some it might be, well, that's a great worship song, you know. But for me, I was there, been there, done that. And God delivered me from being lost at sea. And it's not because I'm special or anything like that. It's because God's special. And I just have a message for you today that God is a rescuer. He knows what's going on in your life. He loves you so much. No matter how many 57 million times you failed and sinned, Jesus is real. He's faithful. He's the only person with the capacity and the willingness to do it. His compassions never fail. And I have some scriptures for you, and I have a message out of Paul's life in Acts chapter 28 that the Lord's burned in my heart. And the number of scriptures I want to give you, I want to be sensitive to your time. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, thank you that we can all be here in this moment. Just the fact that we're still breathing means you're not finished with us. Just the fact that we're still here shows that you have done something in our lives to make us want to participate in your kingdom. Thank you for the visitors who are here today, have never been here before. I pray they feel welcomed and accepted and loved. I pray breakthrough in homes and families and in mindsets and in relationships, in finances, in physical health and bodies. I come against confusion because you're the God of peace and not the author of confusion. And I pray for just an open heaven and an outpouring of wisdom in this place. Give us this day our daily bread, you told us to pray, Lord Jesus. And we know you to be that living bread, something substantial transplanted in us from heaven. Pray special blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a guy in our church named Ed Fosnot. I hired him for our flood relief 20 years ago for 2 weeks. He's been working with me for over 20 years. And he's a hard worker, but he had a heart problem recently and was in the hospital and it was pretty bad. You want to know what Pastor Bill texted me to tell him? Tell Ed to get up, rub some dirt in it, shake it off, and get moving. So I told him that. And he's alive, so it's probably because of that text. I love the sensitivity of rubbing dirt in it. I don't know if that's medically something you should take home with you, but that's what your pastor tells you to do. And that really is the attitude of Scripture. We know, Romans 8:28, Paul the Apostle said it, that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And we have to get that in the knowing. We have to take that and embrace that. My theology tells me that God doesn't cause everything, but he does cause everything to work together for good. He knows how to take a weird situation and turn it around. In the book of Acts, it tells the story of Paul's journey. And Paul is the same guy that told in another time, in another place, in Philippians chapter 1, he said he wanted the brethren to know. He said, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. I have come here to prophesy to you that your circumstances will turn out. That your circumstances will turn out for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm a product, not of a Billy Graham crusade, as much as I honor him at 90-something years old, filling up stadiums. I just met a flight attendant who's from Zaire, who's from a Muslim background, who was a product of a disciple of Billy Graham. He said, so Billy Graham is my grandfather. And he stopped serving water. I think everybody else in the plane was like, what the heck? You know, but this guy's sharing testimony with us. He had been to our church. You have flags in your ceiling. I said, yeah. He said, I love missions, you know. And I thought, well, yeah, you know, he loves the nations. I love Africa. I said, yeah, good. And it was just awesome. And he was saying he was a grandson of Billy Graham. And with dreads, you know, I thought, that's cool. Only in the kingdom of God, man. Only in the kingdom of God. And his name is Billy and his wife's name's Crystal. So I'll never forget that, you know. He told me that. And the circumstances of your life might not look really good right now. Things may feel bleak. And yet, the assurance that we must allow to be embedded in us is that we're in the everlasting arms of a father who cares. My biological father told my mother to go get an abortion. He didn't want me, and then he didn't raise me. I fortunately got to meet him toward the end of his life, and he had gotten saved and gotten free, and so we had a nice reunion, and it was good. But I got adopted by a stepdad who was cool. He had a mother who was a praying woman from Texas, and she prayed my brother and me into the kingdom of God. I'm the product of a grandma's prayers. I'm a product of not a Billy Graham crusade, but of a hitchhiking moment. Not unlike Pastor Bill's testimony. You know, I met Pastor Bill the day my first child was born in 1979. He was a few months old in the Lord. He had had a radical conversion in his hometown of Warrenton near St. Louis. And I just know it was God's leadership and God's providence to bring us together. We've been friends ever since. And I'm so grateful to see the progress and the fruit. And it shows me and it underscores what I want to teach to you today. This is something for you as an individual. This is something for your church. This is a universal truth. But I believe God will break it down to your most essential level. We read about Paul the Apostle way back in the stained glass and history and the snapshot of antiquity. But Christianity is not just a series of old pictures from the past. It's current. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we read the stories of the Bible, we hear testimonies, people like your pastor, the guy, the flight attendant who got radically saved, or the situation that I'm sharing with you about how I was hitchhiking one night, and a Vietnam veteran picked me up who was weathered and worn out. He was in a worn-out car. He had a weathered-looking face, and yet there was a joy on him. He got in a bad situation, and he told me that he cried out to God. He tried Eastern religions. He tried all the stuff that was going on currently at the time and in that place. And he said, none of that did him any good. But he looked at me with assurance, and he said, Jesus changed my life. And I'll tell you what it did for me. It went straight over my head. I had no point of reference. I wasn't a religious kid. I wasn't really raised in church. I didn't quite get it. I had honor and respect for the man upstairs, the good Lord and all that stuff. I prayed right before tests, and when I was taking my report card home, I prayed hard for those days. But I didn't pray much more than that. But prior to this, and unbeknownst to him, I said, God, if you're real, show me. And then God provided somebody like you and me. I'm the product of an encounter with a wide awake, authentic person who had experienced the troubles of life and reached an important conclusion that Jesus is, in fact, sufficient. Jesus, in fact, is responsive. Jesus, in fact, is the Savior. He got saved. And he wasn't in a cult, and he wasn't mesmerized, and he wasn't, you know, glazed, and he wasn't pushy. He wasn't browbeating me. What he did do, though, was he picked me up and gave me a ride 10 miles out of his way. And on the way, given in the credibility of that serving moment, he painfully, awkwardly, kind of stutteringly talked to me about Jesus. But because his testimony was so strong, It got a hold of this young person, and I'm a product of an encounter, a seemingly random encounter with somebody late at night, 1 o'clock in the morning in November of 1972, who bothered to share the message of Jesus with me. And he dropped me off at the top of my street. He said, "You want to talk some more?" And I said, "No." He said, "Okay, let me pray for you." I said, "Thank you." And I got ready to go, and I felt this hand on my shoulder and went, and he just prayed a simple prayer. And he let me go, he had Tupperware tray bolted to the bottom of his dashboard. He was serious. He turned his dome light on, and this is one of those metal dashboards on a 1962 Chevy Impala that if you bump your head on it, you just hose it off kind of a thing. That's the safety level of that day. There was no driver's side airbag. It was just bump your head on the metal. But he had tracks in these, he had gospel literature in the, and he was looking through and he found just the right one. Handed it to me. I'm the product of a moment that seems so insignificant, but the message of Jesus got in my heart. It's imperishable, incorruptible seed. Jesus is so faithful. He was there. He responded. The Bible said this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. We just did a vacation Bible school with our kids in church. We had 5,568 children come, and we shared the message of Joseph out of Genesis 37 through 50. Joseph, as you know, was a young man in a family, a dysfunctional family. If it were in modern time, Jerry Springer would have multiple series on this family, and Dr. Phil would have declined to try to help them. This group was weird, and the dad was ridiculous, and he showed partiality and said, "This is my favorite son." It prompted jealousy throughout the family. God had his hand on Joseph, and they threw him in a pit. People talked about killing him, but one brother's voice spoke up and said, "No, let's not kill him. Let's sell him into slavery," which was the saving moment. I want you to go to Acts chapter 27 and 28, and I want to show you a parallel of this. And I believe I could get this out, expedite this in a way that is applicable to you. Paul the Apostle, like Joseph, like the Vietnam veteran, like the flight attendant from Zaire, like the interns that are here, the ladies that'll come to the Guts Girls meeting, like the people you serve the food to next door, like the people that have been helped in Moore, Oklahoma and Shawnee, like the people sitting next to you, like you and me, God initiates and brings to completion. Faithful is he who calls you, he'll also bring it to pass. In a world that feels futile, in a world that feels random, in a world that doesn't attribute value on humanity, God in the beginning created us in his image for his purposes and for his good pleasure, you and I are created. And Ephesians 2:10 says that you and I are created in Christ for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I've come to encourage you and nudge you in the direction of your obedience, to prompt you to get a hold of the idea that God has and will bring a plan to pass, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And surely you will have tremendous challenge. In fact, expect it. Understand that there is much resistance. Jesus said, "I've spoken these things to you so that in me you will have peace." He said, "In the world you'll have tribulation." He said, "But take courage. Be of good cheer." And I think this is an environment where people are equipped to win. God's called us to succeed. God's called us to prevail. And I believe that God has something in these verses that I think will help you. Paul was called by God, just like Joseph. Joseph was called by God, immediately hit a bunch of pockets of challenge, pockets of rejection from his brothers. He goes into slavery. And he gets lied about in Potiphar's house, and he gets thrown in prison, and he has to sit and he has to marinate for 13 years. But then God brings him to a place, and in a moment, he goes from this oppression of the jail cell to the prestige of being the vice president of Egypt and being responsible to distribute food in a time of famine. With Esther, she was a queen, and the uncle of hers said, "You've been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this." Paul the Apostle, when he was called, was a rough man who persecuted the Christians. He was mean-spirited, and he was on the way to try to exterminate Christianity and stop it in its tracks, but God stopped him in his tracks. By the way, never stop praying for the greatest antagonistic voices of our times, because they can turn in a moment and be greatly used by the Lord. Never give up on anybody. Pray big prayers for people. God, the people you least expect may be the greatest advocates of healing and champions of the blessings of God and salvation in the world. Never give up on people. Keep praying big prayers. Guts, be people that believe God for the biggest things, for the whole nation, all the nations to be reached. God is doing something in your locality. God's using you regionally. God's using you nationally. God's using you internationally. And God's using you transgenerationally. You're smart enough to give it to the kids. I was standing up here and I saw bikers with silver ponytails, and I saw a little 8-year-old girl just push her way up here. It touched me. I thought, she's up here all alone, no, not trying to show off or impress. She's up here to worship God. You're raising up champions in the kingdom of God in this place, and Satan doesn't like it. Satan doesn't like it, so there's huge opposition. Remember in the Lord of the Rings when Frodo, he had that ring that he was trying to carry, and I look at it, what Tolkien wrote, it makes me feel like he was a believer on a mission to take it all the way to the completion. And there was one point where he put the ring on and he disappeared, but then it uncovered this dark world, invisible world of attack. It prompted attack. That's what happened with King David. When he was anointed king, the Philistines heard about it and they began to bombard him. And so in a sense, you know, you've got a, like Gary Larson, you've got that bummer birthmark, how these two deer are standing in the woods and he's got a bullseye on his chest. And they're standing there talking to each other. Bummer birthmark, Hal. You know, when you're called, it's like you're in the seventh grade with a kick me sign on you. And yet, that doesn't matter. He said, if you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll deal with challenges. You'll suffer persecution. You will be resisted. But if you know, listen, birds, when they want to just cruise along, they just go with the current. But when they are threatened or they experience danger, they turn and they face the headwind and they catch it and they go up higher. I believe I'm speaking in a room with people where there's some resistance. There's the you can see in the book of Acts, there was wind that resisted Paul when he was in the boat. He was being taken to a place where God's calling him and people weren't listening along the way. And yet God protected him. God protected him. God's protection has been upon you. How many of you say you've been through some things? Let me see your hands. How many of you have some testimonies? It's like, man, give me the microphone. I want to talk for 4 hours on Bill and Sandy's anniversary about Jesus. How many of you want to do that? Thank you. No, but none of you do. None of you do. Thank you. I'm glad I was testing you. Thank you. Because we're going to let them go have lunch. And I'm going to let you go have lunch. But now my introduction is almost sufficiently laid out. And now we'll go to Acts chapter 27. Can you tell I'm wound up? You know why I'm wound up? Because I know your life represents amazing potential impact of others. People need what you have, especially those of you who don't feel like you're all that. You're actually in a position of greater potential because you've got a humble attitude. Before honor comes humility. Pride comes before the fall. And yet, when there's a humble heart, we're to clothe ourselves with humility. Joseph wasn't a big shot. He didn't feel like he was. Neither did Paul feel like he was such a big shot. In fact, he said he was the least among us. He was the chief of sinners. He did not feel like he was all that. He said, yet, it's Christ that lives within me. He said, it's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives within me. And he realized he was a carrier of the presence of God. Joseph realized there was something God had called him to, that the gates of hell would not prevail against. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says, he quoted, after all the struggle he went through, having to forgive and overcome the resentment that was produced by his family, and having to forgive his dysfunctional family, and he had restoration. He decided to be at peace with them and forgive them. He didn't bear a grudge. And he got into a place where God anointed him and used him because he had gifts. He had gifts that were better than the magicians of Egypt. Just like Daniel, they understood things. that were different than Babylon. They understood the times. They understood things. You are anointed by God to see things differently. When you give your life to Christ, you have the mind of Christ. You have access to his thoughts. You get brought out of confusion. He's the God of peace and not confusion. In fact, I command confusion to leave your life right now. I command apathy to leave your life right now. That mind-numbing focus on mid-range thing that we try to manage our expectations with, I come against it in the name of Jesus. I pray you get a breakthrough where you realize God's got his hand on you. He orders your steps. He's surrounded you with favor as with a shield. And he has given opportunities. He has prepared things for you that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things God's prepared for those who love him. How many of you love him? How many of you love God? Seriously. How many of you are called according to his purpose? And some of you are going, I don't know. You are. You're called. You're called. The same Greek word that talks about the calling on the apostles is the same Greek word used for us to consider our calling, brethren. There are not many wise or mighty or noble according to the flesh, but God has chosen the foolish things and the weak things and the despised things of this world to confound the things that are. His eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth, looking for people whose hearts are his. This is exemplified in your pastor and their family. This is exemplified in what's going on in this church. And it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. You've come to your seasons and anniversaries, and it just qualifies you for the next levels. It qualifies you for the next stages, because the Bible says we're to go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. And this is something that we should not, these are expectations we should not manage. These are truths that we must embrace. Joseph had a breakthrough, and he said in Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, what you intended for evil, God turned around for good, for the saving of many lives. And I want to show you here in the verse I want to give you that Paul was called to the Gentiles and to their kings and to the lost sheep of Israel and what things he must suffer. And God protected him. There was a life threat against him. At one point, guys said, we're not going to eat till we kill him. And some kind, good people held ropes and put him in a basket and lowered him over the walls of Jerusalem and saved his life. I want to show you in Acts chapter 27 that Paul was out in this boat and he was being taken to Caesar, and they went through all kinds of trouble. Wind kept rushing in, resisting. The boat ended up crashing. He said, keep up your courage. Men, I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've told. He gets to a point where the boat is falling apart, and a soldier in verse 42 of chapter 27 plans to kill the prisoners so that none of them could swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to bring Paul safely through, kept them from their intention. You know, some of you know it and some of you don't know it, that God has assigned the angels of the Lord and even people to step in and intervene over and over again in your lives. You've been delivered. Some of our greater testimonies we'll not know about until we get to the other side. We'll have eternity to thank God for it. But we're all here. I suspect that we've got some tremendous things to be thankful for. We've got some amazing, amazing moments that we look sometimes at what has happened to us and we get all upset about it. We need to thank God for what hasn't happened. Come on. Could have been a whole lot worse. Nudge somebody and say, it could have been a whole lot worse. Nudge them back and say, don't nudge me. So they were all brought safely to land. Here we are. We're all here. Safe, solid, leaning into the word of God, secure. Acts chapter 28. When they had been brought safely through, thank God for being brought safely through. Then we found out that the island was called Malta. This is a place in the Mediterranean. Paul landed on Malta near Italy. And the natives showed us extraordinary kindness. For because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. Verse 3, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. I want to say to you, that right in the middle of your serving, Satan doesn't like it. He's right there in the middle of helping build a fire, minding his own business, trying to tend to the fire, and a venomous snake fastens itself to his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, "Undoubtedly, this man is a murderer, and though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. However," everybody say however. "He shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm." Everybody say, rub some dirt in it, shake it off. I mean, I like this verse too, because it didn't just bite him and then go slither away. Paul pulls his hand out and that sucker's hanging on his hand. I mean, the creature is fastened to him. See, some of you go, my problems are worse than anybody's in the world. No, he didn't just get bit by a viper. And I know a snake expert, herpetologist, who told me this snake, it was fatal in that day. They didn't have anti-venom, and they didn't have 911, and they didn't have, you know. So this was bad. And he's standing there, and the stupid snake is going. And he's just inject. That's the sound of venom injecting into his body. And this thing's hanging off of him. And look at how weird people are. They're not watching paint drying or watching grass grow. They're watching to see. It says, but they expected that he was about to swell up and suddenly fall down dead. Isn't it weird that in life, you and I have people that are they're sitting around waiting to see us bloat and die? It's like a cheerleading section. Not. I mean, these guys are like, well, that's just why that guy, there's something that must be wrong with that guy. Let's just see him fall over. It's interesting that adversity really brings a divide on who the friends are and who aren't. Friends are the people that when everybody else is running away from you, they're the ones driving toward you. That's what your team relief is. You're driving toward the storm when other people are trying to get away from the storm. Christians don't abandon their wounded. Christians don't wait for people to bloat and die. Christians contribute to the solution. We have a spirit of faith. We have a confidence that God will turn things around. I'm simply teaching to you what is all through the Bible. We could trust the Lord as our shepherd. We could trust and bless him for all of his benefits, who pardons all of our sins, heals all of our diseases, redeems our life from the pit. And here's an example of it. Paul's been bitten by a snake, and he might remember a reference to what Jesus said to the 70, "Behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." He said, "Nothing shall by any means harm you." Maybe the end of Mark chapter 16, or where he says that you pick up serpents and they'll drink any deadly thing and it shall not hurt them. And certainly we're not supposed to deliberately pick up a venomous serpent, as the people have made an aberration of that. But in this case, while he's in the middle of serving, he got attacked. Can I tell you that that does happen? Right while you're in the middle of being effective, you can expect some challenges along the way, but you need to factor right in there. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but never stop there. But the Lord will deliver us out of them all. And like Paul said in Philippians 1, I want you to know, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that my circumstances have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Yesterday in Dallas, I was with a friend, a former sports professional. After our church flooded, the day it flooded, the Lord had me get with him and go to City Hall and volunteer to help clean up. That moment of victimization, where our building had 10 feet of water in it, was a defining moment. What the enemy meant for harm, God turned around for good and actually integrated into our lives an awareness that caused us to be able to overcome that problem and go out and actually have a sensitivity to what that feels like. And then it opened up a whole new opportunity of possibility of how to help people in those hurting situations. So like I ran into Joyce Meyer the other day at a restaurant with Patsy. We've known her since before she was in ministry. She got so abused by so many of the male population of her family, it's sick. And instead of being a victim, God turned that situation around, and she's been a voice to millions of the healing power of God and getting over it, much like Joseph, who forgave his brothers in that moment of dysfunction and was in that moment of forgiveness was enabled and launched into a dimension of fruitfulness unlike he had ever known. This is a turning point day for some people in here. I'm convinced of this. You've been in a fight of faith, hurt. You've watched people, you know some of these people who have sit to watch you bloat, text about you, talk about you, Facebook about you, whatever it might be. But listen, God knows no such behavior. God is full on merciful, and his steadfast love never ceases. His compassions never fail. Jesus is moved with compassion. We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. Jesus is a champion and a friend to sinners, and he loves you. And if you found your way here today and have never been here before, I honor you for being here. I believe God's given me a privilege to be a voice in the midst of an amazing voice of redemption. They help people win here. Lives get changed in this atmosphere. This is something that is profound because Jesus is central here. Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Jesus, the one who's cheering you from the grandstands of heaven. Jesus, who has begun a good work in you. He that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. But along the way, we're going to have challenges. Along the way, we're going to hit some speed bumps that feel like it tore our whole undercarriage of our car off. And what do we do? The one that made the car, he can repair the car. We'll pull into the shop time and again. And for some of you, you just pulled into the shop, popped the hood up, doing a little oil change right here, getting a little anointing oil, getting some fresh lube on this. Some of you have been squeaky. Squeaked your way in here. Some of you had sparks flying, friction. Now the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is pouring oil all over your situation. You, some of you, you're cranky because your crankcase was dry. One time I pulled my car in, I had a 69 Ford Falcon I paid $475 for, and I thought, you know, it's a luxury to buy oil. You just buy gas. The oil is ridiculous. It's an option. I wasn't real, you know. So I pulled in and I think I need oil. This car sounds kind of oil. It sounds like it needs oil. The guy took the filter off and nothing came out. And he was one of these guys that was a car. He loved cars. And he came out and he said, put oil in your crankcase. Turn around and look at somebody and say, put oil in your crankcase. Look back at them and say, rub dirt in it. Look at somebody else and say, shake it off. Paul shook the creature off and suffered no harm. Yeah. Joseph forgave his family and God boosted him into the next level. Paul the apostle said, I want you to know, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that what the enemy meant for harm, God's going to turn around for good. You see it over and over and over again. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting, isn't it? You, 10 rows back, 5 rows in to the left. Yeah, you. God's got his hand on your life. In fact, I want to advocate the people that are out there that need you to be available, to be kind, to occasionally share a word, to tell them about Jesus. Here's his testimony about some heavy metal band, 80s hair band. The guy was on a Christian show being interviewed. They said, how did you get saved? Well, 7 years ago, I was at a concert in St. Louis. And I got out of my limousine to go to the backstage, and somebody in the crowd, out of the crowd, yelled, Jesus, called my name and yelled, Jesus loves you. And he said, that seed got in me. He said, I didn't change initially, but that was what turned it around for me. I remember, I actually have a friend who told me, I don't interact with him much anymore, but he disdained the idea, just saying Jesus loves you doesn't do anything. Well, you go argue with that heavy metal guy, he'd probably tear your head off and spit in your neck. I'm not here to demean. I'm here to clarify the value of those simple essentials. I'm here to tell you that you must factor in today what the enemy meant for harm, God's going to turn around for good. And what has been incredible in your life that's been a bombardment, that gives you credibility for the next step. Look here. I hear music. Listen. It means read the rest of the verse. I have musical interpretation. Now it says, verse 7, now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius was lying in bed afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him, and after he had prayed, look at this, he laid his hands on him and healed him. God used what was attacked, his perforated, punctured hand became an instrument of healing. God takes the rejection of Joseph and then touches his heart where he becomes the receptor of all the people who are in the famine who needed help. God takes your pastor out of his college days, gives him a wonderful southern woman full of determination and faith, matches them together, births an amazing house with so many diverse options and opportunities. You could come in here, you could plug your gifts in, and you could be a contributor. You could change the world here.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.